There will be a happy meeting in heaven, I know, when we see the many loved ones we've known here below. Gather on the blessed hilltops with hearts all aglow. That will be a glad reunion day. Glad day, a wonderful day. Glad day, a glorious day. There with all the holy angels and loved ones to stay. That will be a glad reunion day. There within the holy city we'll sing and rejoice, praising Christ the blessed Savior with heart and with voice. Tell Him how we came to love Him and make Him our choice. That will be a glad reunion day. Glad day, a wonderful day. Glad day, a glorious day. There with all the holy angels and loved ones to stay. That will be a glad reunion day. When we live a million years in that wonderful place, basking in the love of Jesus, beholding His face, it'll seem but just a moment of praising His grace. That will be a glad reunion day. Glad day, a glorious day. There with all the holy angels and loved ones to stay. That will be a glad reunion day. Beautiful, you may be seated. And that will be a good day, amen? Amen. When we all get to heaven, what a day that'll be. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Who's got a special spoken or unspoken prayer request on their heart tonight? Do remember John Augustus. Again, he was scheduled to sing today, but he ended up in the ER yesterday. So remember John. He is mighty faithful to our church every service. So keep him in your prayers. Yes, Pam. Good. Amen. That's good. Anybody else tonight? Yes, Brenda. Let's hope she's not done any further damage. Okay. Anybody else tonight? Yes, Stacy. Okay. Anyone else? All right. Okay, you've got unspoken. So we all know somebody to pray for, don't we? And we can all pray for each other because we need it every day of our lives. The world throws a whole lot at us, even on Sunday. And then Monday, that old devil's just right on top of us. So let's have our ushers come this Sunday night and we'll take up our Sunday night offering. Thank you, Chris. Yeah. Thank you, Dwayne. Dwayne, you bless our offering tonight. Amen. going to sing another one here. 85 in your book. 85. Let's stand as we sing this one together also. 85. Heart, 'tis the voice I hear out in the desert dark and drear, calling the sheep who've gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold away. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus, who'll go and help this shepherd kind, help him the wandering ones to find, who'll bring the lost ones to the fold, where they'll be sheltered from the cold. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Out in the desert, hear their cry. Out on the mountains, wild and high, talk as the Master speaks to thee. Go find my sheep where'er they be. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. You may be seated. All right, we've got a special song tonight. Here he comes. I ask our pastor to sing one tonight. Now, you know, I warned him this morning. Because, see, here's what he did to me this morning. So he calls me this morning. Oh, it's about 9 o'clock. And says, oh, by the way, John's not going to be able to sing today. And I said, you might ought to get one together. He knows I like to practice what I sing. So I thought, now, how's this going to work?
Oh, hush, complaining.
So I told him, I said, I'll tell you what, I'll take this morning, but you'll have to take tonight. Let's see what he's got here.
Well, Beck, what'd you do with all those books?
Yeah. Is that what you need?
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes you gotta wing it. And besides that, this has been a good song for 100 years.
Amen.
It'll be a good song tonight.
Amen.
Won't it? And this is the old-fashioned way. Can you hear me? Just want to make sure. Whose water?
Mine. You can share it out here.
Okay. I'm drinking first. Every time I do this song, some people sing along with it because they've known it for all those years, and would love for you to sing along with it also, because it's in a way, it's kind of like the Psalm 138 that I went over this morning in Sunday school. And then Les sings the song he sang, and then Nick preaches the message he preached, and it looked like the Lord was trying to tell us something, that when things aren't going too good, he's the one we need to trust in, because he's the one who knows about tomorrow. We haven't been there. He has. Isn't that good? I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry you're the future. For I know what Jesus said, and today I'll walk beside Him, for He knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Every step is getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb. Every burden's getting lighter, every cloud is silver lined. There the sun is always shining, there no tear will dim the eye. At the ending of the rainbow, where the mountains touch the sky. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Don't you just love that?
Amen.
I see a lot of you singing, some of you want to, so and you hadn't yet, so on this last verse, get in there on that chorus, okay? And let's just sing it right out. I might stop in the middle of the chorus and listen to you. So come on, sing to me. Here we go. Well, I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that be my portion may be through the flame or flood, but His presence goes before me, and I'm covered with His blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow. Oh yeah, thank you. Yeah, here, you can have a rest of it.
If you want to. Pastor and associate pastor, that's been answered. We share the same water. Don't bother us one bit, all right? So that doesn't bother us one bit at all. Good to be out to God's house tonight. Genesis chapter 39, we're going to pick up back there if you brought your Bibles. And today we got home from church and Addie fell asleep in the car. Yay. So we get home, we put her to bed. Then me and Lene and Ellie eat lunch and I fall asleep. Then it was either Ellie fell asleep or Lene fell asleep. I'm pretty sure it was Ellie. So I fell asleep, Lene fell asleep, or Ellie fell asleep, then Lene fell asleep. And then I don't know what happened. All I know is me and Lene's laying in bed asleep. Ellie's between us. We wake up at 3:30, and Ellie's been on Lene's cell phone for I don't know how long, and Addie's got a fruit roll-up in the bed, so I have no idea. There is a time in our house, I don't know how long, it might have been an hour, 30 minutes, it may have been 5 minutes, but Ellie and Addie was running the household, and Mom and Dad was asleep on the job. So, but anybody that's parents here or has been parents, you understand. Sometimes you just fall asleep and there ain't nothing you can do about it. You just go. But I was thankful that they fended for themselves. Okay, that made me very happy. I told Lene, you know, she kind of felt bad, you know, us being asleep and they was awake. I said, honey, if anything, it says how excellent we're doing as parents. Addie knew where to get the fruit roll-ups, and Ellie knew how to work a cell phone. I mean, we didn't have nothing to worry about. So I think we're doing an excellent, excellent job there, all right? I see, I love that shirt. Will you come up here? Yes, come up here. I don't know how many of you have been keeping up with Evan Carter that plays for the Texas Rangers from Elizabethan. And so, you know, he's local, so that makes it cool. But what makes it cooler than anything is he loves Jesus and he's a follower of Christ. And he's got on a shirt. This is an Evan Carter shirt, ain't it?
Yes.
Yes, and it says Jesus won on it. And didn't he wear that at like batting practice or something?
Yeah, before a game.
Before a game?
Yeah,
so I just wanted you all to see that. I love to see our young people supporting professionals that love the Lord Jesus Christ and are not ashamed of it, okay? So thank you. Okay. I hope I didn't embarrass you too bad. Okay, all right. I had to get you up here with me with a head of hair like that. I had to get you up here with me, okay, because that looked good. All right. Genesis 39, we're going to pick up in verse 7. So we got to where Joseph was prospering in life, even though he had been thrown into a pit, even though his own brothers had nothing to do with him, even though his own brothers wanted him dead. We got to where he was a slave, but he was still prospering. And then we got to where he became master of Potiphar's house, the Egyptian that bought him from the Midianites. So now he is in Potiphar's house, and he's basically running the entire household. He was a slave, but now he's basically become the master of Potiphar's own house. Potiphar's not keeping up with anything because he knows everything that Joseph is doing, God is blessing. So he's not worried about anything at all. But then we have Potiphar's wife who comes onto the scene, and basically she's trying to get Joseph to sleep with her. She's trying to get Joseph to commit adultery. Now, the reason that we're getting into this tonight is once we get in a position of prosperity, don't you want to stay in it? When you get in that position of spiritual prosperity, or when you get in that place of physical prosperity, don't you want to stay in that position of prosperity? So we're going to look at Joseph here and how he handles this situation, and how he ends up in jail for doing nothing wrong, but he was still in a position of prosperity. Okay, so we're going to go through that tonight, all right? And verse 7 says, in chapter 39 of Genesis, and I've got to tell you this real quick. The reason I'm not in my suit, I was in a shirt and tie, these same pants. I didn't have my jacket on yet. And me and the girls was eating Tommy Toes on the back porch while Lene was getting dressed. And man, there was this Tommy Toe, I kid you not, Eddie, it was about that big. So I was like, I don't want Ellie or Addie to choke on that Tommy Toe. So I put it in my mouth, I was going to bite it in half, and that thing shot all over my tie, shot all over my shirt. I was like, it's October. How in the world could that little Tommy Toe be that juicy? But it was. So it was time to leave. I didn't have time to put a tie and all that on, okay? So I'm not a big tie guy anyway, so I'm not really upset with it one bit. I do hate that we got to do some laundry when we get home now, though. All right, here we go. Verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and said, lie with me. In other words, Potiphar's wife is wanting to have sexual relations with Joseph. And in verse 8 it says, but he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. So in other words, he's telling Joseph is telling Potiphar's wife here, listen, your husband has been good to me, and he's put me in charge of your household. And then verse 9 says, there is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Because thou art his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So the problem with this was, if Joseph would have slept with Potiphar, it wasn't what Joseph was doing to himself, it was the sin that he was committing against God. Now, this is a specific situation of adultery, but can I tell you tonight, not pointing out specific sins or anything like that, when we sin against God, we are committing an act against God. That's what sin is. We're not committing an act against ourselves or anything like that, but we are committing an act against God. And Joseph knew that if he would have committed this sinful act, he would have been doing something that was against God, the will of God. So we all need to know and we need to understand tonight that when Satan tempts us with whatever that it is, it could be anything tonight, but when Satan tempts us with whatever that it is, if we give in to that temptation, what we are really doing is we are doing a great wickedness, as verse 9 is described, we are doing a great sin against God. It's not what we're doing to ourselves, but it's what that we are doing against God. And we live in a day and a time where people like to judge levels of sin and things like that, and you'll point out a sin and they'll say, well, that's at the very top of the list, and then you'll point out another sin and they'll say that is at the very bottom of the list and things like that. Listen, I don't see anywhere in God's holy word where God has a list of one sin being worse than the other or anything like that. Listen, somebody that steals a piece of chewing gum from the store or something like that that may cost 25 cents, we may not look at that as being a great sin compared to murder or adultery or anything like that, but still that person needs the grace of God. They need to be forgiven for stealing. Just as people that commit crimes and that are in jail and things like that, they need grace, they need forgiven. But are you not thankful tonight, praise God, that there is no sin greater than the grace and mercy of God? The world would like you to think that there are sins that are greater than the grace and mercy of God by the way they like to judge people and say, well, can you believe he did this? Or can you believe she did that? Or can you believe this person did this at school? Or can you believe this person did this at work? That's the way the world likes to treat sin. But I'm thankful tonight, bless God, that even when we were at our very worst, God still had something to do with us. Hallelujah. Jesus still had something to do with us. The Holy Spirit of God had something to do with us. And that gets me to another thing tonight, and I'm going on a little bit of a rabbit trail, but that's okay. We'll come back to this a little bit later on. You know, you hear some people say within churches and denominations and Christians and say, well, I can't believe that they're a Sunday school teacher if you look at their life in the past. Well, I can't believe that they're a preacher if you look at their life in the past. I can't believe they get up and sing in church if you look at their life in the past. Can I tell you something tonight? If God only called the qualified, they wouldn't nobody be doing anything in God's house. Because there ain't a single one of us qualified to do anything, bless God. But hallelujah, God makes us qualified through the purging of our sins, bless God. So I'm so thankful for that. And I'm thankful that we come to a church that understands that and that realizes that tonight. And how thankful that we all can be for that. So Joseph did not give in to sin. Joseph did not give in to temptation. And James 4:7 tells us how to resist sin. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. Now note, there's a reason the Scripture is this order. You can't resist the devil until you've submitted yourself to God. You ain't going to resist the devil if you've not submitted yourself to God. Let me use this as an example. Because I'm a big man, this will make sense to people that love food. If I'm trying to go on a diet, and I'm trying to submit myself to a diet, if I don't submit myself to a diet, when I go to my refrigerator and open up that refrigerator, and there's a big chocolate eclair cake in there, if I've not submitted myself to that diet, I'm going to eat that whole chocolate eclair cake. Now that's a funny example, but to use a real example, if we've not submitted ourselves to God, when sin comes knocking around, you ain't going to resist evil because you can't. But bless God, the one that lives in you can tonight. Hallelujah. So let's submit ourselves to God. So submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and then I love this part, he will flee from thee. If you want Satan to run away from your life, bless God, submit yourself to God, resist to the devil, say no to sin, and you know what Satan does? He'll go and pick on somebody else. You ever stop to think about this? And man, this hit me like a ton of bricks, so this is just as much for me as it is anybody. Maybe the devil's giving me such a fit with things in my life, trying to get me to commit a sin because I'm not submitting to God enough. give the devil somebody else to run to. All right? Now, we don't want the devil to afflict anybody or hurt anybody or anything like that. I'm not saying it in that way or that form or that fashion. But don't give the devil a reason to hang out around you, bless God. And if you don't, he'll leave. Whoops. Oh, thank goodness. That's right there. All right. Now, where are we at? Let's skip on over to verse 10. Skip on to verse 10, 39:10. And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day. She was being persistent. Can I tell you, and I just got done reading, the devil will flee from you when you submit yourselves to God. He will, if you resist the devil, he will leave. That doesn't mean he's not going to be persistent from time to time. He is. Listen, the devil is persistent. He is going to, if he can find a knife and put it into your side or put it into your back and dig and dig and dig and dig and dig, that's exactly what Satan is going to do. He's going to be persistent. Well, that's what Potiphar's wife is doing right here. Joseph, day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. So Joseph just kept saying, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. In verse 11, and it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. So Joseph is there, it's just him and Potiphar's wife. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that she had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, she called unto the men of her house and spake unto him, saying, see, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came into me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. So Potiphar's wife right here tells a lie. Joseph and Potiphar were alone. Potiphar's wife reaches out to grab Joseph's garment and gets a thread of his garment, a scarf or something like that. And then she turns it around on him saying, well, he come to lie with me. He come to have sex with me, and I screamed with a loud voice so that I could catch everybody's attention. Now, begin to think about Joseph in this situation. He'd been in a pit. He had been a slave. Things were finally turning around in his life as far as physical prosperity, and now this false accusation is coming up against him. Now, he's a Hebrew in Egyptian land, so he don't have a chance. Nobody's going to help out Joseph in this circumstance. Potiphar's not. Potiphar's wife's definitely not. The people of the house are not going to help out Joseph because he's not even an Egyptian. He's a Hebrew. He's a foreigner in the land that he's in. So nobody comes to Joseph's defense. So we see what happened is that Potiphar's husband was so upset and so displeased that he had Joseph put in jail. So he had got out of the pit into Potiphar's house, running Potiphar's house, and now he's back in jail. And you might be saying, well, Joseph's no longer in a position of prosperity anymore. He's in a prison cell. He's in a jail cell. Well, if you go back to what we read to you this morning, don't God go before us everywhere that we're going? Ain't God already there before we already get there? Ain't God not going to leave us and He's not going to forsake us? God's not going to fail us. God's going to be there. God's going to make sure that we're triumphant in whatever situation that we're in. You see, the physical location of Joseph had changed. He was no longer in the captain of the guard's house running his household. He was now in jail. So physically, you could say, well, physically, Joseph ain't prospering. He's got on jail clothes. He don't have a bed. He's behind bars and things like that. But spiritually, bless God, he was still prospering because the same God that was with him in the pit and the same God that was with him when he was a slave of the Midianites and the same God that was with him when he was a slave of the Egyptians and the same God that was with him when Potiphar's wife was coming up with lies about him, bless God, was the same exact God that was going to be in the jail cell. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for that tonight. The same God showed up in each and every one of these circumstances. Bless God, the same God that saved me is going to be with me when I go to work tomorrow. The same God that gives me the breath that I breathe now is the same God that's going to help me walk tomorrow. The same God that allows me to get a paycheck, bless God, as you work Monday through Friday or Saturday or some people Sunday, is the same God that's going to give us the grace to walk back in here Wednesday night for prayer meeting and Sunday morning for worship and Sunday night for worship, bless God. You see, God is so powerful. God don't need all kinds of other gods to go out and do His work. God is so powerful that He's God Himself. He has one Prince and His Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit of God is so powerful that He works inside of all of us. You know, all these other false religions, they needed so many gods. They needed a God for each specific thing. Well, my God is so, and we know they was all fake. They was all nothing. They was all nobodies. But hallelujah, God's so powerful, He don't need other specific God for specific things. He does it all. Hallelujah. Thank the good Lord for it. So location has nothing to do with spiritual prosperity. It's about staying in a position of prosperity tonight. If you want to stay in a position of prosperity, don't give in to sinful pleasures like Joseph didn't. But also you got to know and you understand location has nothing to do with it. I know we hit on that a little bit this morning, but God want me to hit on that a little bit more tonight. We need to remember this. Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, that's important. I hear people say all the time, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. A lot of people leave out that first part. That first part is the key to the whole verse. And we know that for those who love God. If you want all things to work together for good in your life, if you want for those who are called according to His purpose, if you want God's purpose to be done in your life, you want God's will to be done in your life, if you want all things, now I love that word all because that's everything. That means bad. That means awful. That means terrible. Things that happen in our life. If you want those things to work together for good through and by God, you got to do the first part of this verse. And we know for those who love God. Don't leave that part out, folks. That's the key to the whole verse. We can't say, well, everything's going to work out for the better if we don't love God. It's not how it works. So let us remember the key to that whole verse, Romans 8:28, for those who love God. So Joseph's in jail now. And it would have been easy, in my mind, it would have been easy for Joseph to change who he was. If I had been falsely accused of something, and I had been thrown in jail because I was falsely accused of something, I would have went to jail bitter. I would have went to jail mad. I would have went to jail sad. I would have went to jail upset. I would have completely given up on life. And whoever my cellmates were, I probably wouldn't have a single thing to do with them. But man, Joseph remained who he was. We're going to look at this right here, okay? Genesis chapter 40. We get here, and let's look at verse... let me just summarize it to you, then we'll get to a verse. In Genesis chapter 40, we find that Joseph is in jail and he's got two cellmates with him. Now we can find, if you'll read Genesis chapter 40, that God was still showing up so much in Joseph's life, that God was still having so much spiritual prosperity in his life. God was giving it to him because God had never left him. You will actually find that the individual that was in charge of that cell put Joseph in charge of that cell. I want you to think about that for a second. Running your own jail cell. I don't want to go to jail, but if I do, I hope I'm running my own jail cell, all right? That's how God was working through Joseph. He didn't change who he was, folks. If he would have gotten there and been bitter and upset and blaming the whole world and the whole world's against me attitude that we all like to get sometimes, I've done it. Anybody in here ever had the whole world against me attitude? I've done it many times. Can I tell you, there ain't nothing good that comes from that. What happens is you get fired up. You take it out on the people around you that actually love you. You say things you don't mean to say. You lose sleep and you just cranky all the time. You know, we're getting into Christmas. The Grinch. My girls love the Grinch. I don't want to be a Grinch, folks. None of us should want to be a Grinch. Hallelujah. Joseph didn't forget who he was. So there's two guys in this prison with him. One of them is a baker. Let's look here. And one of them is a butler, verse 5. And they dreamed a dream. So the baker and the butler have a dream, verse 5 of chapter 40. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night. each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which are bound in prison. So the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt are in prison with Joseph. Now, if you'll read these verses, it will tell you specifically what these dreams were. But then I'm going to skip on, and you can read those verses if you want to read them tonight or read them later this week, you can. But I want to skip over to what Joseph does when he hears their dreams. Verse 18 of chapter 40. And Joseph answered and said, "This is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat the flesh of the tree." So this was Joseph talking to the butler, or the baker. I can't remember which one it is. Dan, do you remember? The baker? The baker. This is, so the baker's dying. The baker's getting hanged. All right? So that's what Joseph tells the baker here. Poor baker. No more baked good for Pharaoh's, all right? Let's see, where are we at? Verse 20. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast unto all his servants. He lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler. So the butler is who lives. And he restored the chief butler and to his butlership again. And he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. So Joseph had interpreted these dreams. He, in the jail cell, he tells the butler, "Hey, you're going to live." And he tells the baker, "Hey, you're going to die. This is what your dreams mean." But he hanged the baker, verse 22, but he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted them. And verse 23 is very important to this chapter. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. So Joseph was telling the chief butler here, he's saying, "Hey, when you talk to Pharaoh, don't forget about me. I'm in jail. I was falsely accused. Tell him how I interpreted these dreams so you can get me out of jail." But the butler forgets. And Joseph has to stay in prison for 12 years. For 12 years, Joseph stays in prison. So again, I'm going back through all this again because you need to get this. A pit. His own brothers hated him. His own brothers wanted him to die. He's a slave for the Midianites. He's a slave for the Egyptians. He finally gets recognized for who he is and how God is working in his life. And Potiphar makes him master of his household. Then he gets falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, ends up in jail. Then he interprets the dream of the baker and the butler, and then the butler forgets all about him. Man, Joseph has every reason to give up, don't he? Every reason to give up. But Joseph remained who he was. And I began digging, you know, trying to find a verse. What could describe Joseph while he was in prison for 12 years? You know, there's people in prison today that's falsely accused. You can't sit here and tell me 100% of the people that are in prison right now, they deserve to be there. And I'm not knocking police. That's not what that is supposed to mean. What that means is we live in a human world and there's no way we're 1,000% correct on who's in prison. That's just the facts of life. I'm sure there's people in jail right now that are there because of false accusations and they shouldn't even be in prison. How are they handling that? How would you handle being in jail tonight because of false accusations? How would you handle that? Could you stay in a place of spiritual prosperity? If somebody came in here and arrested you tonight and put you in jail for something that you didn't do, could you stay in a place of spiritual prosperity? And you say, "Nick, that'll never happen." It happened to Joseph. It happened to Joseph. So God laid this verse on my mind. Philippians 4:8. When we're in the pit or we're in the jail cell of life, remember this verse, Philippians 4:8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." When you find yourself in the jail cell of life, turn to Philippians 4:8 and read it. Because instead of focusing on how the butler forgot him, instead of focusing on Potiphar's wife, instead of letting his focus going back to his brothers and saying, if my brothers would have never thrown me in this pit, I never would have been in this situation, Joseph never forgot who he was. Can I tell you tonight with Philippians 4:8, if we will say that every day, if we will just memorize that verse to where we could say it to ourselves every day, to think on the things that are good, to think on the things that are lovely, to think on the things that are of good virtue, to praise God. If we will think on all these things, can I tell you tonight that even while we're in the jail cell of life, we can still have some spiritual prosperity. If we think of Philippians 4:8, I want to challenge you tonight, memorize that verse. You never know when you'll need it. Memorize that verse, Philippians 4:8. Joseph remained who he was. So then we get to 41. Pharaoh starts having dreams. And then when you get to the middle of verse 41 and you get over to verse 12, that's not the middle, that's near the very beginning. 12 years has passed, and all of a sudden the butler remembers, hey, there was this dream interpreter that I was in jail with. So that gets us to verse 12. This is the butler speaking of chapter 41. Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dreams. And there was there with us a young man, a Hebrew. This is the butler speaking to the Pharaoh. Servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream, he did interpret. So I had a dream. The baker had a dream. He interpreted them. Said the baker was going to die, he died. He said, I was going to return back to your home, I did. Well, this gets Pharaoh excited because Pharaoh's having these dreams and he has no idea what they mean. So in verse 13 it says, and it came to pass as he interpreted us, so it was, he restored unto mine office and him he hanged. So that gets us to verse 14. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. Can I tell you tonight, bless God, that when God brings you out of the pit and when God brings you out of the jail cell of life, He brings you out hastily, hallelujah. He don't bring you out in slow motion. When God says you're getting out of the pit, bless God, you're getting out of the pit. When God says you're getting out of the jail cell, hallelujah, you're getting out of the jail cell. When God says you're taking your last breath, hallelujah, you're taking your last breath. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, bless God. Amen. It's happening just like that. God acts hastily. When God acts, He acts, hallelujah. Out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came unto the Pharaoh. In other words, Joseph had to make himself presentable to the king. Pharaoh is the king of Egypt. Joseph had to make himself presentable to the king. Well, bless God, are you not thankful? Jesus Christ has made us presentable to the king. Hallelujah. Yeah, amen. He made us presentable to the king. Look what happens to Joseph right here. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself, got a good haircut. I got to say this because I love him. I love my grandfather. He's helped me a lot in the ministry. Dan's helped me a lot in the ministry. But man, when I started letting my facial hair grow, my papaw didn't like that. He was in a generation, if you was a preacher, you didn't have any facial hair or anything like that. And there may be some of you here tonight that believe that. And thank you for not saying anything to me. I appreciate it. But he didn't like it. So Joseph, this is how comfortable I am at this place. I couldn't have said that just anywhere. So that's how comfortable I feel with you all. All right. Changed his raiment and came into Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream. There is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. I love what Joseph did right here. It would have been very easy for Joseph to say, hey, give me the credit that's due. Look for what all I've been through. All these false accusations. Look what everything. I've been in jail for 12 years. I shouldn't have been in there at all. It would have been very easy for Joseph to say, look at me. I can interpret these dreams. I can do that. But hallelujah. In verse 16, he's giving God the glory. Hallelujah. Bless God, when it seems like life is throwing you in the pits and throwing you into jail, when you get out, bless God, don't have a sour heart, but hallelujah, have a ripe heart and give God the praise, bless God. Amen. Have a ripe heart for Jesus. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river. So he's telling him about the dream. I don't want to read all these to you. So let's skip over to verse, let me find where he's interpreting it, 25. Pharaoh describes the dream to Joseph. Now Joseph's telling him what the dream means. Chapter 41, verse 25. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he's about to do. The seven good kine are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 ears. The dream is one. And the seven thin and ill-favored kine that come up after them are 7 years. And the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. In other words, you're going to have 7 good years of crops, and then after that you're going to have 7 years of famine. You better prepare, Pharaoh. You better prepare for the famine. You better put back some food, because for 7 years you're not going to be able to grow nothing. You better put back. Verse 28, this is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh, what God is about to do to showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. Nobody's going to be left out. This famine's going to be so bad, it's going to affect everybody. I don't care if you're Pharaoh or not, it's going to affect you. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason that the famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled into Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. In other words, God said that this was going to happen. 7 years of great crops, 7 years of famine. There ain't nothing you can do about it. You better prepare for it. Listen, God said it's going to happen. God said His Son's coming back. God said this world is going away. God said there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And bless God, I'm thankful that I can shout from the rooftop that I'm prepared for it. Hallelujah. I hope you can too. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out, 33, a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. So this is Joseph talking to Pharaoh saying, hey, Pharaoh, you better find somebody smart, you better find somebody wise that knows how much crop to put back over these 7 good years so it will hold you over during the 7 bad years. Let Pharaoh do this. Let him appoint officers over the land and take up the 5th part of the land of Egypt in 7 plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. In other words, Pharaoh, you better open up a bunch of food cities. That's the Stony Creek version. Ingles. Does Winn-Dixie exist anymore? It don't. Food Line. I like Aldi. Anybody shop Aldi here? I like Aldi. I'm an Aldi man. Put that little quarter in the buggy, then you get it back. That's cool. You better look. Somebody may have left the quarter. Get all kinds of, that's awful. Okay. 37. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all the servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this man, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Pharaoh looks at Joseph. Pharaoh looks at the leaders around him, and he's basically saying, we ain't going to find nobody like this in Egypt. God is in this man. God is working in this man. He has the favor of God in his life. If we're going to put anybody in charge of this project, we're going to put him in charge. Because everything that he touches is prosperous. Can I tell you tonight, Joseph wasn't only prosperous when he became the governor of Egypt, as he did right here. Joseph wasn't only prosperous when he was basically co-master of Potiphar's house. Joseph wasn't only prosperous when he had the coat of many colors. But he was also prosperous in the pit. He was also prosperous in the jail cell. And bless God tonight, when we get to that position of prosperity, we can stay in it. As long as we don't give in to sinful pleasures, as long as we realize that the location has nothing to do with spiritual prosperity, as long as we remain who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ, and as long as we understand and realize that God will deliver time and time again. Joseph went from the pit to the palace. Bless God tonight. One day, we're going from the pits of this world to a palace that awaits us in heaven. Hallelujah. And I'm looking forward to it. I hope y'all got something from that tonight. That's what God had laid upon my heart and upon my mind. I know we talked about Winn-Dixie. I know we talked about tomatoes. You never know what I'm going to say when I get up here and preach, but that's okay. We never know what Dan's going to say either. It all works out. It all works out beautifully. Let's stand to our feet. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Thankful for what's going on with the trunk or treat. I told y'all before, I tell you this again. That was the first thing that we came to at this church as a family. I'd come a couple Sundays without my wife and kids just to come to church. But that was the first thing we came to as a family. We got in the car. Lene said, that place is it. So if you think it doesn't have anything to do with, you know, coming to church or Jesus or salvation or spirit, it has everything to do with it. Everything to do with it, okay? And teens, don't forget about our trip next Saturday. I'm so excited. I'm going to practice golf. Is it next Saturday? Two Saturdays. I'm going to practice golf for 2 weeks so I can destroy you all at Top Golf. I'm winning. They ain't none of these teenagers going to beat the old man. I'm winning at Top Golf. All right? Jimmy, go ahead and dismiss us, buddy.
Thank you.